Can I just say, I love games. I love games.
No, but no one's having any fun.
But I also really, really believe that games, like, when I mean games, I mean like board games.
Sure,
I love
same,
board games.
Of course.
Board games should be played fairly. And anyone who's not playing a board game fairly should go right to prison.
What happened?
We're going to find out.
No, I thought like you had a bad night last night.
No, I'm going to keep that to myself. It's not my household, but it is my family, but I'm going to leave it there.
Okay. Wow. Real hot take.
Hi, Jillian Bezzavalli.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
Bam! Join us over on the YouTube. We have almost 425,000 subscribers.
That's insane.
It has happened very, very fast.
That is so
Our videos cool. are getting almost 100,000 views, fam. It is wild. It is really fun. Go check it out. What's the... Oh, Patreon.
Yeah.
Tell them.
We have a Patreon where we do a lot of things. We have ad-free versions of these episodes. We also do the series things. We're doing that Trust Me, the False
yes.
Prophet doc on Netflix currently. And we also do like after parties. Sometimes we send you stuff in the mail. We have a lot of different tiers.
I just recorded a whole after party with you about the Gilgo Beach serial killer because I was sort of like didn't know what really went down there. So I watched that NBC doc. It's not a recap, but it's where I got all my information from. So if you're interested in that one, that's at the $7 after party tier. We're doing amazing things at the $20 tier as well. We did the America's Next Top Model recap just for the Hero Bells.
We just did that Dateline episode, The Ruse.
Yeah.
That like 30-minute Dateline episode that was jam-packed.
Yep. And our June Pride mailing for the Hero Bells is absolutely the best one we've ever done.
Yeah, we also have drag bingo from time to time.
We do, 4 times a year.
You know?
Girl, what are we talking about today?
This is on Netflix. This is from the Untold series, Malice at the Palace, you may remember.
Malice at the Palace.
Hurry up, my favorite quote. This one is called Chessmates. It's about a bunch of people who are kind of miserable.
My entire life and career has been destroyed, and I'll have to live with the fact that every conversation I have about chess will eventually discuss anal beads.
Cheating has been happening in chess for hundreds of years.
I felt that I was not playing human.
He's entered a level of paranoia that is not, like, sane.
We had Magnus Carlsen, the greatest of all time.
I've been the best player in the world for 13 years. I only know when I sit down at the board, I am better than the other guy.
The young, talented American with an insane amount of self-confidence.
I am a god.
He's got bravado. Ow!
The rage is not for the camera. You missed it all! Can't be a nice guy, be a champion, unfortunately.
Carlsen lost to this younger player.
Sending the chess world into chaos.
They were paranoid, thinking he was getting help from somewhere else.
He could have gotten a signal. Maybe it was anal beads.
Don't understand how you could even think that would be possible.
So, girl, we open in this tiny, disgusting New York City apartment. There's food everywhere. And I think that tells you everything you need to know. My note here is that this person's apartment makes Stephen Avery's bathroom look like a suite at the Waldorf Astoria.
Okay, so this guy's name is Hans Niemann. He's a chess grandmaster. He's an insufferable, insecure loser.
Yeah.
Not my kind of guy.
No,
not my kind of person
I really like chess. I am not good at it, but I like
it. I agree, same.
This whole, like, the grand master of
it's
it all.
Very weird.
We go from zero to Game of Thrones very, very fast.
Yeah, and also, like,
these names.
But, like, he's whining about how hard it is to be so smart. Genius comes at a price, he laments. It's like, this guy immediately... You're like, oh, I hate him.
I also am just calling bullshit on his backstory.
Well, so much. Everything we hear about Hans is from Hans.
Yeah.
So, like, no one's here to really call him out on his shit.
And he tells us, like, just enough, but, like, not very much. He says at 16, he told his parents he was going to move to New York. Now, he apparently lived in Connecticut, but he sounds like he's from the Netherlands or something. He sounds like he's from a foreign country. He says at 16, he moves to New York to live alone. He was going to pay for it himself. He was going to be the best chess player in the world. That took precedence over living with his family and having security. He just had to play chess all the time.
And his parents said, okay. Okay, 16-year-old. Here, take a boatload of money.
Yeah.
Go with God. God bless. Merry Christmas.
He says...
There's periods where I didn't speak to a single person for 2 months. But I used to go on these, like, 30-hour benders. I wouldn't sleep. And I would literally just stay up, solving chess puzzles nonstop. I just consumed everything I could about chess. I like to watch interviews of past players, and I'd analyze their games. I'd be working on the openings, absorbing everything I could.
this guy's also going to be like, I went so long without talking to people. People don't like me. Never has that scene that I love from The Social Network been more appropriate.
Yeah.
Where she's like, you're going to be a very successful computer person and you're going to go through life thinking that girls don't like you because you're a nerd. I want you to know from the bottom of my heart that that's not true. It'll be because you're an asshole.
That's great. You know, my favorite line from that movie is dating you is like dating a Stairmaster.
Oh my God. My favorite thing is Andrew Garfield. Sorry, my prod is at the cleaners. Along with my hoodie and my fucking flip-flops, you pretentious douchebag.
Drop the.
Anyway, but that quote is, so this guy's going to be like, I was so bullied. Look, we hate bullies. I understand that. But this guy is also
a
bully.
He is a bully.
And like a total nightmare. And so he's going to hear a lot like lamenting about how hard it is to be him. Yeah. And it's like, no, you don't have any friends because of who you are.
Because you're like an asshole. This. And Chess, I get it. Chess is very, I didn't know anything about it. I actually got onto chess.com like years ago. We'll get to them in a second. But like, I can understand that that becomes a thing that you want to get better at. This guy has like a laser focused obsession with it.
I mean, that's what he says. Right. I don't even really believe it at all. But you know, but he says his whole life was studying chess, watching matches, watching old interviews, playing thousands of games online. On where?
On chess.com. So we learn every great player in the world is on chess.com. I did not know this. Daisy and I play chess on chess.com. So I just thought it was like for grandmas. Like I thought it was for grandmas and gay dads.
Well, here's the thing. Danny and Eric are here.
It would be correct to say we don't look like the average chess player. When I say chess player, people think of an old white guy from Russia. Chess is not cool. It's super hard. It's only for nerds. It's not something that's for me. And that's really a big reason why chess.com has the pawn as the logo.
They want everyone to know that hot guys like them play chess too. It's not just all white guys in Russia, everybody.
We are at the gym with them, watching them like swing kettlebells. It is the douchiest introduction we've seen in a minute.
Everyone sat down for this documentary thinking that they are going to come out smelling like a rose, and nobody does.
No, because these two totally have shit to hide.
Yeah.
Their whole MO is like, we're not regular chess players, we're cool chess players.
Yeah. Can I say one thing? They did mention about like why their logo is the pawn.
Yeah.
And the pawn. And the thing about the pawn, if you don't know, and I'm not a chess genius.
I love how you say that word.
Pawn? There's a W in it.
I'm not giving you shit. I really love how you say it.
Pan. Florida. Orange.
I color with crayons.
No. Oh, yeah, no. Everyone says orange and Florida.
Yeah,
and I'm Florida. Like, orange and Florida.
Listen, I say pawns all day. I'm obsessed.
The thing about the pawn is that when you get your pawn to the other end of the board, it gets promoted, and you can choose any other piece that you want except for a pawn.
You know who's great at that? Daisy Tipton Hines.
It's the best. But the thing about the queen in chess is the queen is the most powerful piece on the board. She can go in any direction she wants, as many spaces as she wants. Of course, the queen. We also don't meet a single woman in this whole thing, which is ironic, considering the queen is the most powerful piece on the chessboard.
100%.
But I digress. But anyway, when you get your little pawn to the other side safely and they turn into a queen.
And it's hard, very hard to do that.
You know
which
what
is
called?
What?
Queening.
Oh, I did know
you
that.
Can queen out on the chessboard.
I did know that.
I thought that was cute.
I also think these two might be a little queeny themselves. Girl, earning is back. Look, this is about getting the money that you have already earned when you want it, because waiting is the worst and getting paid twice a month doesn't always work for everybody.
Yeah, and we also like, it's not just that. Sometimes you just want to, I don't know, like do a nice thing for yourself, go to the movies, you need to get some groceries. Sometimes you just like need a little bit of your paycheck a little bit sooner.
And look, with Earnin, you can access up to $150 a day of money you've already earned, plus up to $1,000 between paychecks. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, and so they have tips, but tips are optional, and standard transfers take 1 to 2 business days with no mandatory fees. If you want an expedited transfer, you could totally do that. They start at $3.99 and cap at $5.99.
So fam, download Earnin on the App Store or Google Play.
Spelled like earning money without the G.
Type in True Crime Obsessed under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show.
We got some mandatory disclaimers.
Lay them on us.
Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank.
Access limits are based on your earnings and risk factors. Standard cash outs take 1 to 2 business days with no mandatory fees.
Expedited transfers available for a fee. Tips are voluntary and don't affect the service.
Available in select states. Terms and restrictions apply. Visit earnin.com for full details.
There you have it.
There you go.
Okay, chess.com started in 2005, which I thought was crazy because I was like, who owned chess.com before that?
I know.
You're telling me that the URL was just sitting there empty, unowned until these two guys came along?
Do you know
these
that
two gym rats?
I know the guy who owned the Broadway.com and then sold it to Broadway.com. Like he bought, he had
was
the
it the Broadway and then he dropped the and then
Exactly. But he owned Broadway.com and he sold it.
For what? I'm curious.
Probably
I'm,
not that much. Our friend Robin Rosell also knows this guy and he didn't make very much money on it, I don't think.
I'm not asking about the money. I was asking like, why did he buy the domain name?
Because I think that some people, there was a time that you would buy URLs thinking like this will be valuable someday and somebody will buy it from me. It must have been one of those
things.
He
didn't want to do anything with it.
No, he wanted to sell it. He wanted to like own it and then sell it, which is what he did. But I bet he could have gotten more than
that. Maybe that's what happened.
Yeah. But these guys are saying they wanted to build the MySpace of chess. It opened in 2007. They're telling us they're turning down jobs at Facebook. They're turning down jobs at YouTube.
They were begging, knocking down doors to try to get these guys to work for them.
And everybody is telling these guys that like chess would never be big enough to be investable.
They're getting laughed out of offices in Silicon Valley. I'm like, okay.
I know.
Maybe it's not the chess. But then they're like, oh, we were laughed out of all the offices until COVID. And I'm like, right, 15 years after you bought chess.com.
I know.
Am I math? Yeah, 2020.
Meanwhile, Trump is here.
We get two jump scares right away. We get that fucking piece of shit and that goddamn Imagine video.
I know.
Back to back. I'm like, I know. Come on. I thought we were going to have fun today talking about some chess. I'm like, why am I looking at this fucking stupid face?
We're through the hard part, I think. Those are tough.
God.
But chess.com, of course, like America's Next Top Model, blows up during the pandemic.
Each country that got locked down, registration spike. Italy was first to lock down, and every country, as it got locked down, registrations bumping up 4 or 5x overnight. We literally did go from 1 million daily active users to 5-6 million daily active people playing chess. It was crazy.
As countries are being locked down, chess.com is seeing a spike in their subscriberships. So like Italy is the first one to be locked down. Italy's going nuts for chess.com.
Which I thought was a very cool, nerdy thing where you can like actually see the spikes based on the country. Then the Queen's Gambit comes out on Netflix.
Totally.
And, like, now everyone's into chess.
I knew that was a thing. Never watched it. Did you watch that?
I did not watch the Queen's Gambit, but I know people did and loved it.
People loved it. Yeah. So they go from 1 million users per day to 5 million users per day.
They claim they're worth close to $1 billion. Eric's like, that's my guess. I don't care.
It's not for me. It's not for sale.
Eric, yes, you do.
I know. Just say it.
$1 billion is fucking crazy.
But also, like, we're going to hear...
As Justin Timberlake would say, you know what's cool? $1 billion. I'm just saying.
But truly. And, like, what they're going to say later, I don't just have $100 million. Yes, you do. You just told us that you did.
Well, I know that you did. I know that they had at least 80. I digress again.
But this is the other thing, too, about chess.com is that influencers are, like, playing chess on chess.com, and it's, like, becoming a thing. I've been on chess.com for a year. I had no idea that it was cool. I had no idea.
Well, I think the other people are cool. But these influencers are, like, taking over and like, live streaming.
Yeah.
And so Danny and Eric, the chess.com guys, are going to use the influencers to grow their website even more. Like, they want to take advantage of this, right?
And this is a thing I didn't know. My friend Matt does this. He, like, plays video games on Twitch and, like, people can stream. So that's what they're doing here. That, like, you can, like, pay to watch people play chess. Which I guess if you're, like, super into it or you want to learn how to play better or whatever.
Yeah.
But this guy Hans is on there.
Here was a young, talented American with an insane amount of self-confidence.
Let's be civil, let's be mature, and let's continue with the show.
He's got bravado. And it made sense for us to work together and try to help him become a streaming star.
And he's just insane.
He's, like, just screaming.
He's mentally unwell, this guy. He's screaming. He's, like, always streaming on Twitch. And I'm just like, also, microphones were not built for that kind of screaming back then.
No.
So he's screaming into, like, his
audio levels are
it's so hard to listen to. Like, who enjoys this?
Well, I also, like, this is exactly what he wants. But I'm going to say it anyway. So congratulations, Hans. You got me.
Yeah, yeah.
This kind of behavior ensures I'm going to root against you. Like, no questions asked. Like, the minute I see that bullshit, I'm like, whoever the other person is, I'm rooting for them.
He's got the villain narrative that he gives himself from minute one. It starts with him eating Doritos live while he's playing chess. Who is watching people eat Doritos live? And then he's like, not even folding the bag up and just putting it over here. Then we cut to his apartment and it is a fucking pigsty.
It's rage baiting.
Yeah.
Through and through. But Danny from chess.com essentially became a talent scout because he's looking for the new influencer that's really going to, like, raise their profile even more.
Yeah.
So Danny from chess.com, for whatever reason, loves this whole act. I promise you there were cool girls and women on that site, but we're going to the loudest guy in the room.
And we never see a single one. Not
a one.
Any of the chess competitions we're about to go to. Like, there are no women in sight. Right.
Not a one. So Danny from chess.com loves this whole act because he knows it's going to get a lot of attention. And he also then starts to mentor Hans,
yeah,
which is very important to note. Put a pin in that.
We meet Hikaru Nakamura. He's another grandmaster. He's currently ranked number 3 in the world. He's on chess.com. So people like him are also there.
Right.
Like actual grandmasters. And he's like, this is bullshit.
Because it goes from Hans literally screaming to Hikaru being like, we're going to take it nice and slow. We're just going to take a very chill game. And he literally says,
I didn't really particularly care for his brand of antics. The old school chess establishment, the view is that you'd be very proper. When you win, you say, okay, I won the game. You lose, okay, guy played better than me. But Hans, he was very wild. When he lost games, he would scream, he'd yell. Also, when he would win some games, he'd be like, oh, wow, I'm the greatest in the world.
I am a god. Now sit the fuck down.
I did not care for his brand of antics. And that's antics is a great word.
Yes.
Because the only thing genuine about Hans is his raging insecurity, because you better believe that shit is real.
I also love, like, we get Hans's worldview right away. He's like, why do I have to be a nice guy? Nice guys finish last. He goes, you can't be a nice guy and be a champion, unfortunately. Yes,
no.
You fucking can.
I wholeheartedly
Somebody
disagree.
Didn't go to the Eras tour.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
Prime example of, like, leading with kindness.
Yeah.
You know?
This guy's an asshole.
Yeah.
But, like, the whole thing about this is that the old school way of chess is not like this. Other than, like, it can be very gatekeepy. It can be very cliquish. Like, that's all fine. But you won, you're like, I won the game. You lost, you say, you know what? I'll do better next time. It's not like this grandstanding and peacocking and bullshit from some, like, chump is very disrespectful to the community.
And this is where we go to Norway. We meet Magnus Carlsen. Now, he's the world champion. And, like, this guy, our introduction to him is he's on the sidewalk having people throw chessboards at him to sign. He's autographing chessboards.
He's been the best player in the world for the last 13 years. He's Norwegian. He's no nonsense. And he looks just enough like Andrew Rannells for me to mention the resemblance.
So 100%.
Just enough.
And he's here to, like, be humble. He's like, I'm not remarkable. I can't believe I'm this good at anything. I'm relatively bright, but I'm no genius.
But I kind of liked how he said, he was like, I'm good at this. Like, I'm not a genius because of that. I'm not amazing. I'm just better at chess than you are.
Well, and he, like, we, in the cold open of this thing, like, we see how good he really is.
He's very good.
And it transcends even being good. I think, like, his brain is just wired in a way that, like, you know, people who, like don't see color, they see color, but they hear music. And
sure.
So his brain is, it's like he got struck by lightning or something at some point, and it just, like, changed him so that we see him blindfolded with 10 chessboards behind him. He's playing all 10 of them blindfolded, and he wins every game.
And not screaming about it.
No.
And I do think it's cool that Magnus is like, this is a thing I can do.
Yeah.
I really like it. I'm crazy good at it. I'm better at it than you are. And that's cool, but I don't know what to tell you.
And he even says, he's like, sometimes I feel like I don't deserve it because other people have worked so much harder. Magnus!
It's almost like that, like the personification of money talks, wealth whispers in Magnus. And it doesn't scream Hans.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, these guys that we see. I'm saying guys because we only see men.
Yeah.
But it's like that we see just being very, like, chill and cool. This is, like, something they can do.
Yeah. And, like, he talks about having seen Hans play chess online. He's like, I don't know. I thought his antics were kind of entertaining. He's like, he was good, but I would still, like, easily kick this guy's ass.
Oh, sure. But, well, they play online once, Magnus and Hans.
He was pretty decent, but I still won the game quite easily.
Mate, very pleasing.
He's a good player, happens to be American, and talk a lot.
And when he wins, he goes, mate, very pleasing.
Yeah.
That's how he wins a game.
Yeah.
He's the best chess player in the world, 13 years running.
We learned, too, that Hans is now winning $30,000 a month on chess.com.
Says Hans.
He's one of the top players, beating the grandmasters. And, like, we learned here, too, that, like, online chess is one thing, but the real deal is the over-the-board chess. It's the in-person sitting down, looking at your opponent. They say, breathing the same air. They say, when you beat someone, you can see the pain in their eyes.
We see a guy falling off his chair backwards. Another guy is sobbing hysterically and needs to be comforted. Gentlemen, get grips on yourselves.
I was, like, looking for the lease to his house that he, like, threw under the... You know what I mean?
I mean,
like, what are we gambling for here?
Sobbing.
Yeah.
Sobbing hysterically.
I know.
We're too emotional. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
I know.
So the thing about chess ratings, we're told it's very simple. You start at zero, you work your way up to the world championship level. That's 2,800 and above.
Yeah. Hans was ranked at 2,466. He says nothing special. But his life mission was to become the best in the world.
And Magnus is, of course, over 2,800. He's 2,862. He's
of
the
course.
Best player.
Yeah. Girl, Shopify is back. Look, Shopify is one of those things that really helped us get started with our business. I remember when we started this podcast almost 10 years ago now, we didn't really know how to get things off the ground, and Shopify was one of the places we started.
Yeah, and the thing I love about it is that you have your own design studio, so they have hundreds of ready-to-use templates. So Shopify helps you build a beautiful online store that matches your brand's specific style.
Yeah, fam, Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. From household names like True Crime Obsessed Podcast to brands that are just getting started, you guys.
Exactly. Always want to be a household name, you know?
Thank you.
And you can get the word out like you have a marketing team behind you. You can easily create email and social media campaigns wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling, like out in the world.
Yeah. So fam, it's time to turn those what ifs into... with Shopify today.
Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/obsessed.
Go to shopify.com/obsessed.
That's shopify.com/obsessed.
So Hans, he's got to go to the over-the-board circuit. He's still in high school. This is when he's like, he's getting himself offline to like go play games in person.
I was an absolute maniac and played every tournament that I could. I broke the record for the amount of games played in 1 year. I played 261 games in 1 year.
He played 261 games that year. Apparently, he broke a record, says Hans.
Right. Yeah, okay.
How exciting is that?
I mean, cool.
Good for you, Hans.
It would be cool if you were, like, an interesting person.
I know.
You know, if that was, like, your cool chess journey, but, like, you're a dick.
And I
gotta, so I don't care.
Like, every time you start a chess game, it really does, the possibilities do feel endless. You know what I mean? When you start a chess game, you're like, I could maybe win this thing.
And then it's like, you know, once again, like, oh, shit.
And then you do or you don't. And then you just finish your Chipotle and get on with your day.
And then you just get on with your life.
You know.
And sometimes you're the best chess player in the world 13 years running.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're not.
Right. Sometimes you're not.
We don't need to flip backwards in our chair.
No.
Gentlemen.
This guy's not from Connecticut. I don't buy a word of his backstory.
Well, he could be like from, he could be born somewhere else and then like from Connecticut. You know what I mean?
Okay. That makes sense. But like, once again, though, it just shows us that like, everything he's saying is a lie because, like, we get no. Where's his parents? Where is anybody that knew him in high school?
Zero. So Hans is invited to Miami for the FTX Crypto Cup barf.
I know.
It's an esports chess event spectacular. I'm like, Jesus, calm down.
But the only time we do see women is when they're like in bikinis being fangirls. They make them look like chess groupies, like in bikinis at the pool here for this like chess open. I will say, every time they cut to an audience at these chess tournaments, these people are young and hip, they're all drinking. It's like an event.
Because it's like a cool, interesting thing to do.
It just really opened my eyes to like who is participating in all of this.
I mean, like playing chess well. Like, I always say this, I love seeing people do something that they're really good at and enjoy it.
Paint your room well, I can't.
But it's also like, it's like golf, you have to be really quiet.
Right.
And everyone takes it really, really seriously. And if you don't take it seriously, they're going to start screaming or falling backwards out of their chair or sobbing hysterically or whatever.
Yes.
And it's like, I would be like, woo. Like, I would want to cheer for my person.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
You can't do that.
There's no fun at all here.
Go, Mike!
Yeah, like, yeah, I'd be escorted out.
Yeah, ma'am.
Like, sorry. But Hans is running his mouth as per usual, screaming about how he's going to beat every single person there, especially Magnus. It cuts to Magnus. He's like, this child is delusional.
Yeah.
He's cosplaying as a top chess player. He is not that.
We also hear somebody here says to us,
a lot of the players who eventually make it to the top, there's some defining game or moment very early in their careers, like this great game, this masterpiece they play that's just talked about. You step back, you look at them, you're like, wow, this is amazing. They're destined for greatness. And Hans never had any of those moments. In order to be the best, you have to beat the best. He needed legitimacy.
Hans never had that moment.
Well, he's doing very poorly at this crypto thing. He's losing all of his games. And Magnus says it is very, very clear that he completely lacks any understanding of chess as a whole. Like, he was barely lasting 15 moves. It doesn't make any sense that he was there. And the whole thing about chess, as they say, when they say, like, playing chess, not checkers, is you have to think more than 15 moves ahead.
That's why I'm not very good at it.
And this kid is not doing that. And he doesn't even understand the concept of, like, certain openings or certain moves. Like, sometimes you know, like, if I do this, they're going to do that. And I'm going to sacrifice the bishop or
the
whatever.
The pawn, the rook.
Whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, but he's
the
like,
knight.
He's like totally misunderstanding everything about the game.
Memorizing, by the way, how those pieces move was not an easy process.
What does the rook do?
Which one is the rook? Is it the rook the
little building looking thing?
Oh, that's what can go like as many spaces as you want in a straight line.
Yes.
So like the bishop goes diagonally, the knight goes two up and one over, or one over and two
that's
up.
That's the one I get stuck on. Oh. That's the one I'm like, wait, what? Yeah. I feel like I'm doing the
that's
I'm
counting
the one wrong.
That's the hardest to predict the other person's next move.
They really yeah.
And then the king can only go one square in any direction, and then the queen can go in
wherever the fuck she wants.
Wherever the fuck she wants. So I memorized it, and I do enjoy playing it.
And the pawn can only go
one space. It goes two or one.
So the first time you can do two.
Yes.
And if you don't do two on the first, you can't do it.
And you can only knock people out diagonally.
Right.
And only diagonally going up.
Yes. Yeah, oh, yeah. You can't go backwards.
Yeah.
There
it's
you go.
Wild. I'm
done.
We should play chess sometime.
Okay, move over, Magnus. no, Magnus, please. Magnus and Hans sit down to play. Magnus is doing amazing.
Yeah.
And Hans is about to lose, of course. But then at the very, very, very last second, he like pulls something out of the thin air, and he turns it around in the last second and beats Magnus.
Magnus to camera today says,
I had no chance in that game whatsoever, which was really weird. Like, we're not on the same level. Like, I'm a lot better than you are. It was just a complete beatdown.
Hans beats the number one guy in the world.
And he's the lowest rated player there.
And then he goes outside to be interviewed. And the guy's like, so Hans, yesterday was like a terrible day for you, but today you beat the best in the world. Like, what do you have to say? And he just looks at the camera and goes, chess speaks for itself.
And then runs away as the interviewer is like chasing him down the hall. So let's just slow down on this. You're telling me the person who screamed his head off about every single move and every game online, the person who was determined to beat the best player in the world, just did that.
Yeah.
Just did what he has been screaming about, and he suddenly doesn't want to run his mouth. He's quiet and running away from the cameras
also,
and can't answer a question.
None of his friends and family are there to support him.
How weird.
Who is this person?
How weird.
You know what I mean?
So, like, since when is this guy quiet and not, you would think that he'd be grabbing the microphone,
right,
running up and down, screaming about how he just beat Magnus, and he's running away from
right
the cameras. Since
and
when?
The reason is he doesn't want to be asked any questions because he can't answer them.
So this chess speak for itself clip goes viral. Some people are loving it because he's like shaking up
chess.
He's
the bad boy of chess or whatever. I know.
And some people are like, this is fucking weird.
So now we get Hans's evil villain backstory.
I was not groomed to be a top chess player. Going to 8 different schools and being bullied at every school I went to for being this sort of chess outcast. So when I was 13, I take the train in from Connecticut to New York. There I play against the hustlers for money.
At 13, he starts taking the train in from Connecticut to play chess against the hustlers in, like, Washington Square Park.
I mean, these are badass guys. They're great at chess.
And they're also just characters. Like, they're here, and, like, they're sort of talking about how, like, he was not good, and then he got better only by playing them because they think they're the best in the world. Mm-hmm. And they're, like, they're actually really proud that this shitbag comes from this culture. Mm-hmm. And it's a really cool culture. Like, if you're ever, like, in Washington Square Park,
oh, yeah,
watch them. Because they're like, boom, clock, boom, clock.
It's crazy.
Boom, clock. It's wild.
Yeah, yeah. And also, just to be clear, everyone's like, he cheated, right? The fact that he ran away from that interview, like,
yeah,
the seeds are being planted that he
there's
may or may not be
cheating. There's something going on here.
So now we're at the Sinkfield Cup, which is the most prestigious chess tournament in all the land in St. Louis.
Can I just say that this whole thing has, like, a Quidditch air to it? The fact that it's called, like, the Sinkfield Cup or the whatever the cup is called.
Yeah.
I'm like, it just feels very Quidditchy. And then I wrote Quidditch, Quidditch, and I didn't get the red bar. I think that's how you spell it.
Is that right?
I guess.
Is there a T in there?
I don't know.
I guess not.
According to my computer, there is not.
Well, if the red bar says so, or doesn't say so. But this is the most prestigious chess tournament in all the land. The 10 best players in the world show up. It's like the most watched professional chess event, and it takes place in St. Louis. This is no shade to St. Louis. It just caught me off guard that that's where this big chess thing
yeah
is being played.
Where are the women? Like, why aren't there, there have got to be incredible female chess players.
I'm positive of it, but.
But none of them are the 10 best in the world? This is bullshit. The fact that there are no women in this tournament means the whole thing's rigged. It has to be.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
That's wild that we haven't met some amazing female chess players.
But also, like, would you want to do that? Like, I don't want to be here. Like,
no, but you know
but
that
I also,
somebody does.
Of course,
you know?
Of course. That's the thing. It's like, we shouldn't be like, well, I just won't do the thing because everyone else is an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, that's not cool either.
Yeah.
So anyway, Magnus is there, Hans is there. This 4-person Hans fan club is outside with signs.
There were a couple of girls who showed up to the playing hall. They said they're the Hans Demon fan club.
I don't think he knows that we're here, so I really hope he comes out and sees us.
Love him.
I did not pay those girls to show up as the Hans Demon fan club. No, no.
and Hans wants us to know he definitely didn't pay these women, Hans, you 100% did.
I agree, except that Hans seems the kind of guy that, like, some women would send, like, mail to after he killed 15 people and was in prison.
Well,
he's got that Night Stalker air about him.
Well, because they're holding these signs like, Hans has cool hair.
I know.
Gen Zs love Hans. And I'm like, Gen Zers, do you call yourself Gen Zs? Do you say? I wouldn't be like, hey, millennials love Magnus or whatever. Like,
and by the way, if we're doing this, Magnus has the better hair. Like, Magnus for sure has the better hair.
Put him next to Andrew Reynolds.
Yeah.
It's like just enough of a resemblance.
Yeah. And the Magnus hair journey, and I only say this because he's got the hair I would have killed for, really is an evolution throughout this whole thing. By the end, he's really got it figured out.
Great. Good
yeah,
for him.
It's really, really great hair.
Yeah. These people could be wanting to like jump on the influencer, you know, all attention's good attention. So it might be that.
But he easily also could have paid them.
I mean, he has a ton of, his parents have a ton of money.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So like none of these people want Hans there. And like some of them are considering withdrawing from this like huge event just because they're like, how did this kid get here? How did he rise so fast to be one of the top 10 in the freaking world?
Yeah, they're
in, like,
suspicious.
The last 2 years? Everyone is. Girl, Drip Drop is back. Look, lately I've realized that when my energy dips or I feel off, it's usually hydration related, not sleep, not coffee, hydration. So Drip Drop is my go-to fix.
Yeah, you know I'm very good about drinking my water, but especially now, like when it's getting hotter out and I just feel like maybe water isn't enough. I need a little bit more than that. So that's why I use Drip Drop, because it's doctor-developed, proven fast hydration that just makes like your mind and body and, dare I say, soul work a little bit better.
And listen, Drip Drop uses science-based formulas for rapid hydration so you feel results fast while getting 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks.
Yeah, and Drip Drop is trusted by not just us, but firefighters, medical professionals, and over 90% of top college and pro sports teams. So you know they are legit.
Also, Drip Drop just dropped Zero Sugar Plus, a breakthrough formula with an advanced blend of 6 key electrolytes, 15 essential vitamins and nutrients, and no sugar or artificial sweeteners.
And I'll do you one better. There are 16 original flavors and 8 zero sugar plus options that we love. I am like a citrusy kind of girl. So give me like the lemon lime, the orange, all that. I love it. It's so refreshing in the summer.
It's so good. It's the first thing I have every morning. Fam, right now, Drip Drop is offering TCO listeners 20% off your first order. Go to dripdrop.com and use promo code TCO.
That's dripdrop.com, promo code TCO for 20% off.
Stock up now at dripdrop.com and use promo code TCO.
Yeah. You don't want to be the bummer at the barbecue who's like, you guys, I'm unhydrated. No.
Girl, Rocket Money is back. Look, I'm obsessed with Rocket Money. I use it all the time. This is a personal finance app that helps you get your life together. And for me, I love it because I can see everything in one place. Like, I used to scroll through my bank account and just not understand how anything was organized or laid out. With Rocket Money, they make it so simple. You see everything all at once.
Yeah, especially because now everything, like, forces you to have a subscription. So with Rocket Money, you can track those subscriptions, like you were saying, all in one place. It has the ability to cancel unwanted subscriptions within the app. It's just a few taps, tip, tip, tap. You're good to go.
Yeah.
And they're saving users over $880 million in canceled subscriptions. It's a lot of clams.
Incredible. So yeah, fam, the app consolidates checking, savings, loans, and investments into a single dashboard to give users a clear view of their financial picture. That's what I'm talking about. It's all organized. It's all laid out for you. They will also like send you emails. I got an email when I paid a bill. They're like, large transaction detected. Was this really you, girl? I'm like, yes, but thanks for checking.
Yeah. And you also, you have like customizable categories and tags. So you can really keep track and personalize it for you. But really, my favorite part is being like, I forgot I had that subscription. I don't want it anymore. Cancel it for me, please.
Get out of here. Exactly.
And they done.
Yep. They do it for you. So fam, Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps you find and cancel unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so you can grow your savings.
Let Rocket Money help you reach your financial goals faster. Join at rocketmoney.com/obsessed.
That's rocketmoney.com/obsessed.
rocketmoney.com/obsessed, which we are. Day one, Hans is off to a shockingly good start, we're told. People cannot believe what they're seeing. And then we like jump to day three, the main event, Magnus versus Hans. And Magnus is like, the thing that really sucks about this is that he doesn't trust his opponent, which is not a good place to be. When you are sitting down across the board, you should really be saying like, we're going to have a good game. We're going to play to the best of our ability. You shouldn't be like, why am I suspicious of you? Like, that's not really the point.
It shouldn't be there at all. And like, part of this too, is that like, there's the whole psychological component to all of this, like the psychological advantage. And everyone is saying that Magnus should have it because he's been the better player for so long. And but now maybe Hans has it because he's like the weird, like the weird one that nobody trusts. So they sit down and Magnus goes first.
So I'm gonna try and surprise him in the opening a bit. And I pick kind of a rare line.
An unusual approach by Magnus in the opening.
These types of move orders are chosen to trick your opponent. Frankly, this type of approach is Magnus Carlsen's specialty.
It's a bit of a risky line, and he plays the exact best move.
Hans has the exact perfect response move. Like, whatever the exact right thing to do when somebody does that opening, Hans knows to do.
From, like, a zillion... This opening is, like, an old school for the, like, formally trained people who love chess, like, super old school. Now, Hans, who learned chess in Washington Square Park and has no formal training, knows the exact right response. He shouldn't have even known what it was.
What he was doing. And, like, it starts to go downhill for Magnus so fast to the point that I was surprised that Magnus was so outwardly showing his distress, because at one point he's like leaned, like he's got both of his hands, and everybody is like, no one has ever seen Magnus behave like
that. You know why? Because he is seeing a zillion moves ahead.
Yes.
He knows where this is going. Yes. So like early on in the game, he's like, oh my God.
And meanwhile, Hans is sitting across from him, and like Magnus is saying to us now, Hans is acting like, I totally got this. I'm barely putting any effort in. I know exactly what to do. I'm so much better. This is nothing for me.
I mean, because his ego is such that he can't even like fake it a little bit.
Right.
Can you act like you're kind of struggling for a second?
Yeah.
He can't even do that.
So Hans wins.
Hans wins. And his post-game interview is once again really weird and suspicious because he can't explain any of the moves he made, especially like his explanations are not making any sense. And Hans, because they're like, Hans, that rare, obscure, totally crazy opening move from Magnus, like, how did you know? I mean, the exact right move. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Hans's response is,
I was actually very fortunate that this opening came on the board and I looked at this today.
You guessed this opening today?
No, I didn't guess it, but some miracle, I had checked this today. I have no idea why I would check such a ridiculous thing. Such a ridiculous miracle.
By some miracle, that very morning, he actually looked up that rare, obscure, unusual opening. And I'm like, even to a dummy like me, this seems ridiculous.
No, and we're told by the chess.com guys, there are over 10,000 possible opening moves you can make. And they're like, the idea that Hans that morning just happened to look into the response to that one, they're like, it's a 1 in 10,000 chance. And the other one's like, but it's possible.
And now I would believe Hans more. Not fully, but a little bit more. If he was like, I knew Magnus was out to get me, so I spent time studying the weirdest, most obscure stuff because I knew, like, that's playing chess, baby.
Yeah.
I really did. If he would say that,
yes.
But to be like, out of all of the openings in all of the world, I just randomly did this one. What are the odds?
And it's like, nobody believes him.
No. So we meet Henrik is here, Magnus's dad.
Yes.
And he's like, yeah, I felt bad that my son was losing, but he wasn't suspicious at all until he spoke to Magnus.
Yeah, Magnus comes back and he's like, Dad, that son of a bitch was fucking cheating.
And his dad's like, oh, all right, well, let's get to the bottom of it then.
So now we're back with the chess.com guys, and they're telling us that, like, cheating has been a part of chess, like, from the very beginning of the game, which obviously.
Right.
And now with, like, AI, it's gotten way too easy. And he's saying that with a chess computer, you would beat Magnus Carlsen 1,000 times out of 1,000 times.
Sure, there's code, there's programs, there's apps, but, like, and online cheating in the online chess world is rampant. It's so insanely easy to cheat. People are doing it all the time. But cheating over the board is a very, very different story.
Right, because they make the point that, like, in other sports like track and field or bike racing, like you do the cheating before the event. You're taking the steroids, you're doing the whatever. But in chess, you have to do it in the moment.
Right. And so Magnus and his dad think that Hans has been cheating.
And Magnus even says,
he explained basically that he had been highly suspicious from the start of the game. This was not Hans playing, he was playing some computer. And I said, what do you mean? He was cheating.
I felt that I was not playing a human.
It didn't feel like I was playing a person. It felt like I was playing a robot. It felt like I was playing a computer. Like so like Magnus would like think about his move and then all of a sudden it would just be like mechanical, you know, Hans would know exactly what to do to counter
and
it.
And think about how Magnus knows that. He's the best chess player in the world 13 years running, which means that he is constantly playing different people his entire career.
Yeah.
So he knows what it's like to sit down with someone who's actually going to play the game with him as opposed to cheating through the game.
And he's played so many times that he knows what it feels like. You're saying, like, he knows what it feels like to play a person.
Right.
So, like, when something is off, like, we can take Magnus's word for it because he knows, because he like, this is what he does.
So they want to talk to Danny from chess.com because remember, Danny from chess.com was mentoring Hans. Hans is famous in this world because of Danny. Danny, like, discovered Hans and thought, let me get the screaming guy who's insufferable into the world of chess. So when Danny calls them back, he's like, I know what this is about. This is about Hans cheating, right?
Right. And so the chess.com guys are saying that, like, we found cheaters on our platform early and they're, like, here to talk about it. And they're like, when Hans was accused of cheating, like, early on in Hans's, like, rise to prominence, there were, like, whispers around the office staff that, like, Hans must be cheating. And Danny, like, absolutely does not want to believe it. He's, like, the biggest cheerleader that, no, Hans is just good and he's getting better. He's definitely not cheating.
Well, guess what, everybody? Hans cheated on chess.com and Danny from chess.com knew. And when people asked him about it, sometimes he'd lie to them and say Hans was not cheating to avoid, and he's like, oh, it's to avoid a scandal because it's in his best interest to keep chess.com a cheat-free site. And I'm like, yeah, you want the money too.
Well, but also,
you don't want your reputation damaged because you brought him in. You're his mentor and he's been cheating this whole time.
These guys totally have blood on their hands with all the stuff that happened.
And I can't believe we don't talk about it more. Like, what? Like, there's more to, okay. So,
because, well, what happens is Danny says,
unfortunately, when we peeled back the onion, we saw that Hans had been cheating borderline since the first day he joined chess.com. Talking to someone about the fact that we've caught them cheating is a little bit of a well-rehearsed script for me. But this call was unique in that Hans immediately started denying. And the moment I told him that this was no longer up for debate, he burst into tears.
Hans switches tactics and, like, bursts into tears. And he's like, please, please don't ban me, because if you ban me, then everybody will know that I got banned for cheating.
So Danny helps Hans out of this bind, which is insane and a major conflict of interest, and, like, not how they would treat literally anybody else.
And also, like you were saying before, the reason that Danny helps him out of the bind is because they don't want the scandal on chess.com. Like, if people were to find out that there was cheating happening on chess.com, the whole thing would go down. So it's like, it's in Danny and chess.com's best interest to kind of sweep this under the rug the best they can.
Right. So Danny lets Hans control the narrative, but he doesn't say anything about cheating. Like, Hans doesn't admit to cheating. What he says to everyone is like, hey, I'm going to close this account and I'm going to start a new account. And, like, that's my new name. And, like, this is where you should follow me now.
Yeah.
And that doesn't say anything about cheating. And Danny lets him do this. They wouldn't let anybody else get away with this.
And Eric, Danny's business partner, is like, I was surprised by how generous you were. And then Danny legit looked at the camera. He's like, I was trying to avoid a scandal.
About yourself, Danny.
Right. I think that that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
I think he's, I mean, whatever. This is, like, a shitty thing and they should be totally called out for this. But I think Danny is acknowledging, like, we did not want a scandal on this.
Because to be clear, Danny put this guy into this world, then lied for him and has been protecting him. Like, this is a much bigger deal than the doc is presenting.
And it's the reason the doc exists in the first place, I think, is because Hans got away with it in this venue. Like, I think he thought he could go on to do it in any venue and he would always get away with it.
And it's so weird because this is when Danny tells us about this big bombshell from this call with Hans.
Yeah.
And he's like,
he started asking me specifics, like, what games exactly did I cheat in? How does the algorithm work? Do you think I've ever cheated over the board? It felt like to me that he was trying to pinpoint how we caught him. And that part of the phone call never left me. Oh shit, we can never trust this kid again.
Hans started asking Danny a million questions about how they caught him.
Right.
As if he didn't want it to happen the next time he cheated. Like, he wanted to learn from his mistakes so he can go undetected.
Yes.
And Danny won't spill the beans, but he says, he was like, oh, wow, we can never trust this kid again. And I'm like, and yet you're parading him around at these over-the-board tournaments?
Right, right.
And so defending him? Like, what?
Now, this is where they are starting to connect the dots. And if Hans has been cheating this long on the online games, he's probably cheating over-the-board, too. And that would have been how he would have been able to beat Magnus.
So now it's day four of the big stuffy tournament, and Magnus and his father have talked to Danny at chess.com. Danny at chess.com very secretly said, you're absolutely right, Hans. I don't know if he's cheating right now, but I know he's been cheating the entire time I've known him, and I've been, like, covering his ass, right? So Magnus doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
He removes himself from the tournament, which is saying everything, but he doesn't say, I know that Hans is cheated.
No, and he tweets about it. He's just like, I'm leaving the tournament. I hope to come back. And everybody knows like what the implication is.
And he uses this, I had to look up what this is, but he uses this very famous clip from some soccer coach from 2014 saying like, I prefer not to speak. If I speak, I'll be in big trouble. And that's the video he used. So like using that phrase, I guess when this all happened in 2014, I can't tell you the details of it. But I was like, why is he using that video?
I didn't know what that was either. I was like, what is this?
So I looked it up, but it's just like, it's a very big thing in the soccer world from 2014. So him using that was also like saying something without saying it.
Yeah.
So Magnus has made himself very clear that him removing himself from the tournament is all about Hans. And it's a very public accusation.
Yeah, and it becomes like pandemonium in the chess world,
they
say.
That's the word they use, pandemonium.
Everybody already thought this. Everybody already thought that the only way that Hans could have beat Magnus was through cheating.
And now King Magnus has confirmed it.
Yes, and they're like, but how could he possibly have done it? And they're like, did he have an earpiece? Is there some kind of signal device?
Everybody was going back and reviewing footage as to what could have happened. Did his jacket look a little bulky in this area? How come he's, you know, his ankle is itchy all the time? And in this discussion, in one stream on Twitch, somebody in chat said, maybe it was anal beads.
Someone introduces the idea of cheating through vibrating anal beads. And that is all anybody needed for all the late night shows to pick it up. Now, everyone not in the chess world gives a shit about pandemonium in the chess world because someone mentioned anal beads. Talk about queening.
It's talk about queening. Absolutely. That's our area. You don't get to have it, chess world.
Hans, please.
But like it's, watching all of these like British commentators trying to be serious discussing it. Somebody says a vibrating sex toy in his rear quarters. I was like, girl.
Right. And now it's like, it doesn't matter how true it is. It's salacious. It is now considered a legitimate theory. Some people are saying it's the truth.
No one
gives a shit.
He cheated. Like, I will go to my death thinking that this son of a bitch cheated. He's offered $1 million to play chess naked to prove that he didn't do it. He doesn't take it.
No, he doesn't take it.
No.
But he's saying, you know, this is humiliating and
chess.com gets an anal beads bump. They're like, remember the Italy bump? Remember the COVID bump? Right. We got an anal beads bump. Fam, what do you get when you combine bingo-style bonuses and slots? Cashingo!
DraftKings Casino is the exclusive place to play Cashingo slots.
New casino players play $5 and get 1,000 flex spins.
Claim 50 spins a day for 20 days on your choice of over 100 slots, including the exclusive Cashingo collection.
Download the DraftKings Casino app and sign up with code TCO to claim your flex spins and experience Cashingo, the feature you can't play anywhere else.
The crown is yours in partnership with DraftKings Casino.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org.
Please play responsibly. 21 plus. Physically present in Connecticut, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia only. Void in Ontario.
Eligibility restrictions apply. Non-withdrawable spins issued as 50 spins per day for 20 days. Valid for select games only and expire each day after 24 hours.
See terms at casino.draftkings.com/promos. Ends July 22nd at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, remember, though, like, Hans has been cheating online endlessly. That's all he knows how to do is cheat. But that's not public information.
Right.
Because Danny from chess.com has been protecting him. And Hans hasn't publicly acknowledged that. He just, like, could in the middle of this, like, is he cheating scandal, he just changes his account, and it was totally his idea.
Yeah.
It's, like, very obvious that this is happening, but nothing has been said by chess.com yet, even though they made it official to Magnus.
But Hans, just for the record, is real mad about the anal beads thing. Because in his telling of his life story, he's worked and scraped his way up.
And it was very sad to see my life's work just, like, you know, burn in front of my eyes. Yesterday, I probably had to explain that I didn't use anal beads about 5 different times to 5 different people. That's what my life and all my accomplishments and all my work has been boiled down to fucking anal beads.
And now all of his life's work has been reduced to anal beads.
And I'm sure he's been super nice to every kid he's ever met.
Oh, please. Absolutely.
But
not.
He's being the one bullied. Are you kidding me? This guy is a bully through and through.
He also stays at the tournament after Magnus leaves. The next day, he gets like an extra wanding. Like, they're really, like by the butt.
So after all of the speculation is all everybody's talking about, he kind of has to address it now. It's on Colbert. Like, we got to talk about it.
Yeah.
So during some interview, he says, okay, like cue the tears, like squeezing a couple tears out. When I was 16 years old, I randomly cheated on chess.com. I was confronted. I confessed. It was the biggest mistake of my life. I am ashamed. Now, today in the documentary, sitting down, he has a different story. He says when he was 12 years old, he cheated a total of 9 times on chess.com. Cue Ferris Bueller, 9 times. But then he like stopped cheating. And then when he was 16 years old, he cheated about 20 to 30 times, blah, 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 blah.
But never again, never since the age of 16.
Now, Danny from chess.com says that Hans admitted to just enough to get sympathy and that anything they said would make us look like the bad guys. And I'm like, right, Danny, do you know why? Because you'd have to admit that you knew how much he was actually cheating. This might be the only time Hans actually played a little bit of chess.
Yeah, 100%. Like, but also, like,
what's a cheater? Always a cheater.
But truly, if I were a fan following this guy, like I cared about his career, I'm subscribed to his Twitch or whatever, I would unsubscribe from everything. I'm like, you can't believe a word this guy says. He absolutely cheated in that over-the-board game with Magnus.
He cheated in every other time, but not... Give me a break.
Like, a 1 in 10,000 chance that Magnus was going to use the perfect opening, and then he was going to know the perfect response. We never really come back to this, but, like, he cheated.
Yeah.
He cheated in that game. I don't know how.
I don't really care how. I just don't like him, and I don't trust him.
Because I would like to know. Like, you know what I mean? Because, like...
But this is not going to keep me up at night.
No, but, like, for the sake of the documentary, like, I'd love... Like, he'll never admit to it. We'll never know how. But the thing is, after this,
I went to GoChess.com to log into my account. Password was working.
Because of this game against Magnus, because of what he said, they have decided to completely remove me from the website.
Oh, did they give a reasoning?
No reason.
That was a permanent ban from Chess.com. And they also removed my invitation from the Global Chess Championship with a first prize of $200,000.
All of these things are happening at once. He gets banned from chess.com. He gets...
sort of accused by Magnus of cheating.
Yes.
So Hans is like, this is all a conspiracy. They're all out to get me. Here's what's also happening during the accusation from Magnus and the cheating scandal, whatever. Chess.com is about to strike a major business deal with Magnus Carlsen, who's the best chess player in the world 13 years running, but he is now playing on chess.com.
Right.
And they're like, that's crazy. He has his own company called the Play Magnus Group, which consists of 13 chess companies, and it's Chess.com's main competitor. Obviously, they want Magnus on chess.com.
Yes.
And they have for a very long time.
They say this thing that it would be like having the NBA, but LeBron James is competing in a separate basketball league. Yes. I was like, this documentary is not for me.
I mean,
what are you talking about?
But they pay, chess.com pays the Magnus Group $80 million.
And worth every penny, I would think. I mean, if they're valued at $1 billion now, you know what I mean?
And like now they're buying everything. It makes sense. But Hans is saying like...
Of course it's fucking coordinated. They have to pander to their business partner, Magnus. You know, they can't upset him too much or the rice is going to throw another tantrum. And when a baby starts crying, you know, you have to give them something to shut them up.
Well, in order to keep King Magnus happy, chess.com outed Hans and banned him and ostracized him. And this is all part of the plan. And like, this was all their big heist.
But you know what? It's not a bad argument because it all did happen at the same time.
True. Like, and sure, they probably listened to Magnus because they care more about Magnus and this business deal than they do about this punk.
100%. And I think at the end of the day, I think if you're Magnus, and I don't believe that Magnus did this, but I could see like, okay, if you want this deal, if you want me to sell you my company, you want me on your platform, you got to get rid of this idiot.
You want to know why? Because, and I've never done one of them, but I can imagine that $80 million deals don't start and end overnight.
Of course.
This was years in the making, probably, some sense. So the fact that Hans is like, they're all out to get me and it started yesterday and now we're here. Like, Hans, you're not that important.
Right.
You're not, nobody gives a shit. This deal is literally, it's a bigger deal than you are as a chess player.
Yes, 100%.
No one cares.
But now that Magnus and his family have access to chess.com because they're part of the company, Magnus and his dad, who by the way is also his manager, they go to the chess.com people and they're like, because chess.com has the best anti-cheating technology in the world, according to chess.com.
So they say.
And so they're like, we want to know if you can take that anti-cheating technology and apply it to the over-the-board games. And let's see if we can prove whether or not Hans cheated in the game that he won against Magnus.
And chess.com is like, oh my God, say no more. Absolutely, 100%.
We did a very thorough job investigating all of Hans's games online. And it was one of the most eye-opening things because like, he had cheated way more than even we thought. The online cheating was rampant. He had cheated in well over 100 online games. And I thought the truth was that Hans Niemann cheated over the board at the 2022 Singful Cup.
In this full investigation, they found out that he was cheating. They used the word rampant.
Yes.
Well over 100 games. From day one, he cheated in every game he played.
And it's like, to hear Hans look at us to camera and say, I cheated like 4 times when I was 9 and 16 times when I was 16 or whatever. Like, absolutely not. Total fucking bullshit.
It's also a bad lie.
Yes.
How do you know? It's too specific.
But when you're cheating at like a math game on a website, you know there's some nerd in the back who's going to be able to figure it out.
Right. And like, you should thank your lucky stars that Danny protected you for as long as he did.
Right. Because it's also fraud. Like, if you're making 30 grand a month on chess.com and like it's all fraudulent, like they should be suing you.
But you know what he might be doing? He might be streaming through Twitch. It's probably not through chess.com. He's probably playing and then like screen
and making
mirroring.
The money there.
That's probably how it is.
Yeah.
Still fraud. Like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
But it's a 72-page investigation. And apparently, there was no evidence of Hans cheating over the board.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Why do we not get any information of what was in this report?
I don't know, because it makes no sense when you take one half a step back and you're like, am I crazy? So he cheated his way online.
Yes.
He cheated his way to the tournament. He doesn't actually understand the game.
And then does a 1 in 10,000 like reverse move on the guy who plays the... He cheated.
And you won't talk about it.
Right. So, like, but also, I want to know, like, how... Okay, so you are telling Hans and his dad that your anti-cheating technology can determine whether or not this guy cheated, not on your platform, but somehow over the board in a tournament that you are not associated with in any way.
Right.
So when your report says that he didn't, I would like to see what's in the report.
I would, too. And chess.com oversold this big time because they didn't want the deal to go away with Magnus.
But then everyone... Magnus and his dad included, just take the chess.com guys at their word, which I guess they have to now because they're like, they've sold their company to them, like they're part of the family.
Right.
But everyone's like,
they didn't have the smoking gun. I felt pretty bad. I felt that I'd sort of been gaslit a bit by Danny and chess.com into thinking that they had evidence, which they really didn't.
Even Magnus is like, feel really bad for accusing that guy of cheating. He fucking cheated.
He cheated. And like, I just kind of can't believe that the chess.com guys weren't held accountable in any way for protecting this known cheater. Like, am I overreacting?
No, you're definitely not. We're just stuck on different things. I agree with you completely, but I'm just like, how on earth could your anti-cheating technology have proven that he didn't cheat in an over-the-board game that you guys weren't even at?
I think because there's no way to take the online anti-cheating and put it into real life.
There's just no way.
It's got to be a totally different thing. And I think they oversold it to Magnus.
Yeah.
And overpromised and underdelivered.
Right, because I'm like, how would you your anti-cheating technology detect an anal bead? I'm not saying that's how I think he did it, but like, what if he did?
Like, right, like, walk me through how you're...
Show me the report. Tell me anything.
Show your work.
Show your work, exactly.
That's what I want to say.
Because it really frustrates me that like the chess.com guys, Magnus and his dad, from this point forward, Hans definitely did not cheat in that game. Our bad. And I'm like, really?
Yeah. You don't have to be Columbo, like I always say,
exactly.
To figure out. He cheated in everything else but this.
Right.
He can't even explain the game.
And like, I don't know when we get back to it, but I'm just going to say this. As soon as he wins that game against Magnus, Magnus then leaves the tournament. Then like, he's accused of cheating publicly.
Since this whole thing, controversy, the last few days, it's been impossible for him.
It's a wonder he held on. He held on for so long before it started coming unglued.
There was a point where I was looking in the mirror and I'm like, what am I going to do?
He loses every other game in the tournament because he magically knows now there's a billion eyes on him and he can't do anything sketchy. And he doesn't just lose. He loses badly. Like, he gets his... And he'll be like, well, I couldn't focus and I was dealing with anal beads and whatever. I'm like, no, bitch, you knew that you couldn't cheat anymore.
Right. That's 100% right.
You know?
So we're told by Magnus that Hans sued everyone and their dog for $100 million.
It's a good lawsuit.
And cut to Hans. This is so Trumpy because he's like, everyone hates Magnus. His own friends, all of his friends are telling me all the time that like they hate being around him. And I'm like, where are your friends, girl?
We haven't met one single person in this entire documentary who says one good thing about you.
Like, all you know to do is how to be a victim. That's it. That's all you know how to do.
I gotta tell you, like, we learn eventually that this lawsuit settles out of court. And part of I was desperately trying to find out how much. There's no information. But he also was reinstated on chess.com as part of the settlement.
Well, Magnus says he didn't want to settle.
Yeah.
But he says, but also the U.S. legal system sucks and it's really expensive.
Yes.
And I think Magnus was like, you know what? I don't know, but like, the vibe I'm getting from him is like, I don't really have time for this. I'm just going to keep being the best chess player in the world because that's proven.
Yes.
And like this punk will fade away.
He's also like, I just made a cool $82 million. I'm not going to spend it fighting this
like,
shit.
All Hans wants is the fight. That's
yes.
all
yes.
he wants. If you, yes. we just stop talking about him, maybe he'll go away. So 2 years later, we're in Paris. It's Magnus versus Hans, the rematch. Some over-the-board game. He cheated his way into this tournament, I guess.
I just can't figure out how this guy is taken seriously enough still in the chess world that he's invited to these competitions.
Magnus Carlsen, world number one, just took down Hans Niemann.
Magnus Carlsen dominated this match.
He wanted to settle things not in the courtroom, but on the chessboard. So
Magnus says, Hans wanted to settle things and not in a courtroom, but on the chessboard. So,
yeah.
And then we did again.
And he's kind of, even now, even after all of this, he's like still a gracious winner. But like watching, I was riveted to watch this chess match. They only give us like 3 minutes of it in the documentary, but I was like, what is going to happen?
Yeah.
Again, like they cut to the crowd. It's all young, cool looking kids. They're all drinking. I'm like, and I'm like, if I were in Paris that week, I would have gone to this chess
match. It's like dark lighting.
Yeah.
It's like kind of cool.
I know. It looked like very cool. Chess is cool.
But now, like it ends with Hans rambling like a lunatic about seeing the future and he's a stone cold killer. And I'm like, you're so angry and so insecure. And I'll get shit for saying this, but I kind of wonder if we won't be covering another documentary about Hans in the future.
I know.
And that's all I'm going to say.
I was saying like, it was great to watch him lose.
But he's sitting there pouting.
I know. It was so great to watch him sort of get some sort of comeuppance in this.
No sportsmanship at all. No like, all right, congrats, like the better player won. He's just sulking and pouting. But also like it's the same thing. It's like Trump, then sue everybody if they're lying. Like, why aren't you saying like—
I know. And it also ends with Hans saying, nobody knows this, but I'm going to be the best player in the world because I know things the world doesn't and I can see the future.
Okay.
What are you saying, Hans?
Okay.
What are you saying, girl?
I don't know. I would not be shocked if we cover another documentary about him. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh my God, girl, we did Untold Chessmate.
Chessmate.
Oh my God, this one was crazy. I'm gonna go and play chess with my kid tonight.
Okay, great.
Don't forget to follow us on YouTube, fam. Over 425,000 subscribers.
Unbelievable.
It's unreal. Join the Patreon. So much great stuff over there.
Yeah, we have fun over there.
What are we doing next?
We are doing The Grindr Killer Scandal.
Ooh.
It's on.
Sounds gay. I'm in.
It is. It's on HBO Max, Discovery Plus. We're heading to England for
okay.
this one. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Stay safe out there. This whole idea of like, I'm just going to meet somebody online and then just go to their house.
Oh, I know.
Some like stranger. It's crazy.
People are just showing up at homes. They're not meeting in public places.
Taking lives into our own hands.
Is that right?
I guess.
Meet in a public place at least.
Please. I know.
Drop your pin, share your location.
We love you. Stay safe.
Stay safe, please.
So stay tuned for the trailer for that, fam. And, you know, that's it. Go
play
chess.
Yeah, we'll see you soon.
All right, bye.
Bye. Love you. Bye.
This is one of the most shocking cases of serial murder in modern times.
He killed 4 men.
For years, Stephen Port had been taking advantage of the anonymous world of gay hookup sites like Grindr and FitLads.
Stephen messaged me, hey neighbor, come over and meet my new guy.
And drugged 7 more, raping 4.
The police missed every single opportunity to catch him.
Shocking, in fact, almost unbelievable that the case was handled so poorly by the Met.
They just thought that Jack was gay and a druggie and that was it.
As 8 officers face investigation, what were the guilty signals?
That sick, twisted scumbag will never be able to hurt or destroy anyone else's family or life.